Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Everlasting God, you give strength to the weak and power to the faint. Make us agents of your healing and wholeness, that your good news may be made known to the ends of creation, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
May be seated.
Reading from Isaiah. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught, and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown. Scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Word of God, word of life. Now let us pray Psalm 147 responsively. Hallelujah! How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant it is to honor God with praise.
The Lord
heals Jerusalem
and gathers the exiles of Israel.
The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds.
The Lord counts.
Great is our Lord and mighty in power. There is no limit to God's wisdom.
The Lord
lifts up the lowly, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music upon the harp to our God.
Who covers the heavens with clouds and prepares rain for the earth, making grass to grow upon the mountains.
God provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they cry.
God is not impressed by the might of a horse, and has no pleasure in the speed of a runner,
but finds pleasure in those who fear the Lord, in those who await God's steadfast love. Hallelujah!
Glory
to the Father, and to the Son,
and
to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the reading from 1 Corinthians. If I proclaim the gospel, this gives me no ground for boasting, for an obligation is laid on me, and woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a commission. What then is my reward? Just this, that in my proclamation I may make the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my rights in the gospel. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark. As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in his synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Churches that so prominently display icons like our church does. We usually have these two icons displayed. This one is Christ's Panacrator, which means the Almighty, the ruler of all. And this icon is usually in its place here. And this one is called the Madonna and Child. We usually have the Trinity icon on this side. This one is so rich, so filled with imagery. It's the artist, the writer of the icon, called this the Trinity, meaning the three angels that met with Abraham under the oak tree at Mamre. But because it has such rich imagery, we usually talk about this icon as the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and pull out images for that. The icon over on this side is traded out. So if you ever, we've got several icons, and this is the one that usually gets switched out. The one that's there right now, and I know you can't see it from the back, but this icon is called the Transfiguration. Next Sunday is the Feast of the Transfiguration, so we'll have this one out for a couple weeks. Then when we get into the Lenten season, we have a couple Lenten, we have a Palm Sunday procession icon, and we have a crucifixion icon. So those icons will be switched out during the time. But I have this icon that hangs in my office. This is called St. Peter and His Holy Spouse. And this was a gift from my Holy Spouse, gave me this about 10 years before we ever landed at St. Peter's. And I find it very touching for me. When I look at this, it hangs where I see it in my office. But icons of saints always have the same images. If you ever see a picture of a saint with a scroll, you know it's an apostle, if it's a closed scroll, because that a closed scroll stands for wisdom. And the apostles have wisdom because they were eyewitnesses to Jesus' teaching and his ministry. So the closed scroll is always a sign of an apostle. So that's one sign that we know this is Peter. The other sign is that he has the keys. And, you know, Jesus said to Peter that he will be given the keys to the kingdom. So Peter is shown with the keys. His spouse has in her hands bread and salt. Bread and salt are symbols of hospitality. So if you were welcoming the king to your house, you would meet the king's entourage at the front door with a loaf of bread, probably very nicely formed homemade bread, with salts, either a dish of salt on top of the bread. Sometimes they even make a hole in the bread and put that dish in the donut ring. So maybe bagels would work, because it has it. We don't know the name of Peter's spouse. She doesn't get a name, and neither does the mother-in-law. We know that Peter had a wife because he had a mother-in-law. So she doesn't get a name. But if we had an icon of Peter's mother-in-law, she would definitely be pictured with bread and salt, signs of hospitality. She must have taught that virtue to her daughter as well. Let me, I'm going to get my water. To talk more, that short piece about the mother-in-law again. I talk too fast, and we usually read pretty fast, and we don't take time to notice things in the story. So I want you to listen to these two sentences, and listen, just see what you notice. As soon as Jesus left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came in and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. The thing that really stuck out to me, touched my heart during this week as I was preparing this sermon, he took her by the hand and lifted her up. By the hand. So tender. So personal. Lifted her up. So uplifting. Do you long for God's presence in your life? In times of illness or fear, in times of trouble and worry, do you long for God to take you by the hand? When you're down or depressed, do you feel or feel like you are in the grip of evil? Do you long for Jesus to lift you up? All through Scripture, God is doing just that thing. Look at the psalm that we just prayed together. Verse 3, the Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And verse 6, the Lord lifts up the lowly. And in another psalm, it says, the Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. Our God is not afraid to be on the side of those for whom no one else is on their side. Our God stands with us when we are at our lowest point. And we can depend on that. We can rely on that promise, but that's when God is with us most clearly. The song that we're going to sing as our sermon song, our hymn of the day, was written about 40 years ago by Mike Jonkus. And it's such an uplifting song with words of hope and comfort. On eagle's wings, no matter what life throws at us, we are safe. under God's wing. No matter how far down we sink, God will lift us up. No matter how alone or how forsaken we feel, God holds us in the palm of his hand. When Mark recounts the story of Peter's mother-in-law, he tells us in a very particular way that Jesus took her by her hand and lifted her up. Jesus does the same for you and for me. But that's not the end of the story, not for the mother-in-law and not for us. Mark goes on to say that the fever left her and she began to serve them. If we were reading this in the Greek, we would hear the word diakonia, to serve. This woman, this unnamed mother-in-law, is the first deacon because she serves in the name of Jesus. And that's our part in the story too. When Jesus heals us, when Jesus lifts us up, we are compelled to serve. There are times, as the children told me this morning, when you simply need to rest. When you rest in the knowledge of God's love and care, nestled into the protection of God's wings. But there's more. In our baptism, we are called by Jesus and we answer, not to remain the same. In our baptism, we are called by Jesus, not so we can stand still. The call of Jesus is a call to serve. Jesus said of himself, "I came not to be served, but to serve." When Jesus lifts us from low places, he sets us free to serve. We are freed from the things that hold us down, and we are freed for service. When have you found the healing hand of God? When has that hand, clothed in human flesh, reached out to raise you up? Maybe that hand, the hand of a parent or a spouse or a friend, maybe that hand has prepared a meal for you or knit a shawl or cleaned your house or smoothed your troubled brow. Maybe that hand has held yours in love and prayer. Maybe that hand has pushed you ahead or pulled you along, given you encouragement and strength when you needed that extra support. Maybe that hand pointed new ways, even challenging ways, for you to be a better human being. Here's the most recent story of mine for hands. On Thursday night, I drove to Encinitas to pick up Bishop Caseman, the German ambassador to the United States, no, to the world. She's the global ambassador, reminding people of the upcoming anniversary of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. So Bishop Caseman is staying in Encinitas. I drove up to get her. And, of course, with the traffic on the 5, we were a little bit late for the community dinner at Claremont Lutheran Church, where we were heading. We got there, and there was a long line for the dinner, and we went and were walking down to get at the end of the line, and a gentleman stepped back and said, "Ladies first." He was about 3 or 4 from the end of the line. So we stepped in line. And I turned to thank him, and he said, "You're not really that late. All you missed is the prayer." And I said, "Well, then you have to pray for me." And he took my hand, without missing a beat, took both of my hands and said, "Dear Lord, we ask you to bless this food and bless this lady." And he just had the most beautiful prayer as he was holding my two hands in his. I felt so blessed and so touched by that prayer that to me, I was teasing him. I didn't for a second expect that he would bless me and the food that we were about to receive. There are healing hands and helping hands that hold us, that embrace us, that rest on our shoulders. But think also of this. The healing hand of God is your hand as you reach out that hand to others. Later this afternoon, I'm going back to Claremont Lutheran Church. And this time, I will lay my hand on the shoulders of Nathan Allen. Nathan will be ordained today in the laying on of hands and the prayers. He will be lifted up for service as an associate pastor at Claremont. His main emphasis, a ministry there, will be to the Spanish-speaking people and to the youth. He's his mother, a pastor in Pasadena, will be preaching the ordination sermon. I thought that was kind of interesting that his father-in-law is a pastor. His two brothers-in-law are pastors. His mother is a pastor, and his brother is in seminary. I said, you didn't have a choice, did you? Mark tells us that healing hand of Jesus was open and outstretched to all. The whole city was gathered at the door. And then he went to other places to heal and to teach. He healed the crowds. He taught them about the kingdom of God. He gave them hope. He silenced the demons that would cry out that there is no hope. And he called disciples to share in that ministry. He healed and he taught those who were considered unworthy, even when it was dangerous for him to do so. Jesus was constantly reaching out his hands to lift up, even in the face of forces that were trying to tear down. In Jesus' upside-down kingdom, the poor are cared for, the hungry are fed, the lowly are lifted up, and those who are hopeless are filled with hope. All through the work of our hands, doing God's work. Today, we are invited to let ourselves be taken by the hand and lifted up. Today, we are invited to join our hands with others in reaching out and lifting up others in healing and in service. When Peter and the other disciples found Jesus that morning, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." Indeed, everyone is searching for Jesus, for that great physician of healing and hope. We are searching for healing, for wholeness, for that hand that would save us. When you reach out your hand to receive Jesus, to receive the bread of life, see that wholeness, that healing, that gift that is for you. Open your hand to receive God's grace. Open your hand so that you might be put to work for the service of all of God's people. Hold us, dear Lord, in the palm of your hand and lift us up to serve. Let's stand and sing "On Eagle's Wings." It's number 787.